Our Bible study today continues in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and we shall just link up with where we concluded our previous Bible study. Let us read then Matthew 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. That will be sufficient for our reading for today's study. Now you will recall that at the close of our previous study, we brought you on to verse 12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now I want you to look very specially at verses 13 and 14. These are two verses which have been greatly misinterpreted and misapplied in different religious circles. I want you to notice now and take this and examine it. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, suppose somebody was to come to me today, and they were to say to me, How can I be saved? Now, I certainly would not quote this verse to them. I know some cults today who quote this verse. I have asked them. I have asked certain people and said, Now, are you saved? And their answer is, I'm hoping that if I endure to the end, I shall be saved. You see, that is a misapplication and a misinterpretation of what is said in this verse. If anyone was coming to me today and asking how they could be saved, I would quote such verses to them as Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Or I might quote to them the words that were spoken by Paul and Silas when they were in prison, and the Philippian jailer asked how he could be saved. They said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Or I might quote that verse, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I certainly would not quote this one which says, He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now you might ask me why. For the simple reason that at the present time in which we live, salvation is offered as a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A man is saved by grace. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. nor of works, lest any man should boast. But this verse in Matthew 24 says, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now the Bible does not contradict itself. There are no contradictions in the Bible. So therefore, you must interpret this verse in the light of the context. Now, in the light of the context, it is simply this. In verse 22 it says, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Notice, it's speaking here of the salvation of flesh, men's lives being saved. And so therefore he that shall endure unto the end. What end? The end of the great tribulation period. But now at the present time we're not in this tribulation period. And I make myself very clear here to all who are listening. I do not believe that the church will be on earth at the time of the great tribulation. There are certain verses that prove it. For example, if you were to go over to the book of the Revelation and chapter 3, you discover a verse there that makes it perfectly clear that the church will be kept from the tribulation. Listen to what it says. Revelation 3 verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. He's going to keep them even from the very hour, that is, from the time of the trial. They'll be kept out of the tribulation, not taken out of it, but kept out of it. So the church will not be here. That's the reason you don't get the church mentioned in Matthew 24. And so he's speaking here of those who will be on earth at the time of the tribulation. And some will endure to the end, but not many. Then take verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the earth and all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now some people have taken this verse entirely out of context, and have referred this text to the preaching of the gospel that is preached at the present time. And I have heard a preacher say that the Lord cannot return until the gospel is preached to all the world. And when everybody in the world has heard the gospel, then the Lord will come. But if everybody hasn't heard the gospel, then the Lord cannot come. My friend, that is a very poor interpretation of this verse. Notice, first of all, it makes it perfectly clear, this gospel of the kingdom. Now, when I preach the gospel today, I do not preach the gospel of the kingdom. I may preach a gospel that speaks about the kingdom, and I may speak a gospel that will tell of the king, but that is not the gospel I preach. Listen to what the great apostle Paul said. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. And here's the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There are the three cardinal points of the gospel that we preach during this dispensation. How that Christ died, that was a historical fact. How he died for our sins, that was a doctrinal fact. How he died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that is the prophetical fact. Then it speaks of him being buried, and how he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. That was the gospel the great apostle Paul preached. Now that is not the gospel that's referred to here in Matthew 24, verse 14. It distinctly says here the gospel of the kingdom. Now, John the Baptist began preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We got that away back in the early chapters of Matthew's gospel, when John came from the wilderness, and John began to preach, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And after they had put John to death, then the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he began to preach. And he also began to preach the same gospel. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. So John the Baptist preached the gospel of the kingdom, and then again the Lord Jesus Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom. And there again, when you come to Matthew chapter 24, reference is made to the fact that this blessed gospel, good news, shall be preached again. Remember, the word gospel simply means good news. At the present time, we preach the good news of how men and women can be saved, and how they can know it and be absolutely sure that they're saved. For Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and was raised again. That's the message of the gospel we preach now. But after the church has gone, remember, the Jews again, according to Revelation chapter 7, 144,000 of them, will be going forth preaching the glorious gospel of the kingdom, that their Messiah is coming, and it's time for men to repent and be ready for the coming of the King, just as John preached it. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ presented the kingdom, so this message, the good news of the kingdom, shall be preached again during the tribulation period, before the end comes. Now when we come to verse 15, we read here again a word that is very, very interesting. It's a time factor. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now you'll notice in this section there are two things to be noted. In verse 15, there is a time to see. When ye therefore shall see, something that can be seen with the eyes. Verses 16 through 20, there's a time to flee. Verse 16 says, then, at that time, let them which be in Judea flee. So first of all, there is a time to see, and there is a time to flee. Now, so far as the time to see is concerned, it's a time factor. This indicates a warning sight. Now, since reference is made to Daniel the prophet, it would be helpful for us to look at what Daniel wrote concerning this very matter, because the Lord here refers back to the prophecy of Daniel. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now, in case you don't know where to look for that, I'll give you the references and read those things to you, and you can study them at home. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27, here is what we read. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And by the way, I should tell you that that 1 week there is a seven. And it's 7 years. It's a week of years. 7 years. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 7 years. And in the midst of the 7 years, that's at 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Notice then, in chapter 9, verse 27, there will be the overspreading of the abomination he shall make desolate. Now, when you come to chapter 11 of the book of Daniel, and verse 31, we read these words, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Here again, the abomination that maketh desolate. Then when you come to chapter 12 of the book of Daniel, and verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, three references then, three quotations from the book of Daniel. Now, if the Lord refers us back to the book of Daniel, then it comes to us like this. We should go back there and study what Daniel says and be able to relate it to what we have here, the abomination of desolation. Now he says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Now it's no use taking this verse out of context and trying to apply it to some Christian church. Sometimes, you know, we take terminology from the Old Testament and we try to apply it to present-day Christianity and it doesn't fit in. I know people like to speak about the sanctuary and about the holy place, etc., etc. But when you come to the New Testament and you begin to read the church epistles, you discover that the church is not confined to any building. The church doesn't have a holy place here on earth. A lot of different groups claim that, but the Bible doesn't sanction it at all. But when you go back to the history of the children of Israel, you discover they had a holy place. When they built the tabernacle in the wilderness, it was made up of the outer court. Then there was the holy place, and then there was the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary, inside the veil. Likewise, when they were in the land and they built the temple, there was the Holy of Holies in the temple. They had a holy place. Now, distinctly here it says then, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Now, pause for a moment here and think. Here the Lord Jesus Christ was on the eve of Calvary. He was about to be crucified. He's making a prophetic prediction here that sometime in the future there would be an abomination of desolation, that which had been prophesied by Daniel, and it would stand in the holy place. That, my friend, has not yet taken place. Remember, in the year 70, the temple was destroyed. At the present time, we must be honest about it. The Jews don't have a holy place. Oh, I know they've got the synagogues. I know they've got the Wailing Wall and all that. But the fact is they have not yet built a temple in Jerusalem. But it seems quite evident from the reading of the book of Daniel and from reading Matthew chapter 24 and from reading through the book of the Revelation, there will come a day when the nation of Israel back in the land will have some place that will be looked upon as the holy place. How long that will be before it is erected, I'm not prepared to say. Neither can I say what it will look like or where it will be located. But the fact of the matter is things are moving very rapidly. And before long, when Israel enters into a covenant with the beast of Revelation 13, you'll discover this, that they will be given permission to build some place that will be looked upon as the holy place. He will make a covenant with them for 7 years, but right in the midst of the 7 years, something will take place. And it's that something that is mentioned in verse 15 of Matthew 24. Here then is a time factor. At the time when the abomination of desolation is set up in the holy place. Now you might ask, what is the abomination of desolation? It is an idol. Because you see, that which pertains to idolatry is always looked upon under the Mosaic law as being of an abomination. So if idolatry is an abomination, then there will come the day when there will be that abomination. When you come over to Revelation chapter 13, here is what you read. Speaking of the second beast. And that second beast was seen coming up out of the earth And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image. Now watch this very carefully. He says they should make an image to the beast. That is the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Here is your abomination of desolation. It's an image, an idolatrous image of a man whom the Bible calls a beast, and men are called upon to bow down and worship the image of the beast, and if they will not worship that image, then they have to be put to death. Now the Lord indicated this and said, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." Now I want you to take particular note of this. This is not being said to Christians. This is being said to those who represent the remnant of a nation, the nation of Israel. For look now, it was a time to see, and it was a time to flee. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Notice very carefully who it was that were to flee. Them which be in Judea. It does not say the people who are in New York, or the people who are in Philadelphia, or Washington, or San Francisco, nor London, nor Rome. You see, none of these cities are mentioned. We are particularly taking note today of what it says. Then let them which be in Judea. Now notice then. Who are the people who are warned to flee? Them which be in Judea. Now you know where that is. That's the Middle East. Israel. Part of Israel. And he tells us where they're to flee. Flee into the mountains. Now, if you were living here in the United States and you were told to flee to the mountains, what mountains would you flee to? How long would it take you to get there? And how would you flee? Now you see, out there in Jerusalem and Judea, the mountains are right around them there, and they have to flee to the mountains. And we're told how they have to go. Let them which be on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the houses. You see, it's a common thing for people to go up on the housetop to rest or to meditate. Here is a man who's having his afternoon rest. If he happens to be there, he's not to come down. That is, he's not to come down to the house to collect anything. There's no time. They have to flee in haste without collecting material things. If he happens to be in the field and he's come to the end of the furrow and he's left his coat and other things at the other end, he hasn't time to go back and get them. He's to flee in haste. He cannot return to get the things, such as his extra coat and so on. It's more important that he should protect his life. You see, the idea of the abomination of desolation being set up in the holy place, the news will be scattered around very quickly. People will get to hear what has happened, that the man they trusted has betrayed them, and he has set up this idolatrous thing called the abomination of desolation. Now they're to flee then in haste. But how are they to prepare for the flight? It's very interesting. He says, "But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day." Now, if you and I were asked to flee, it would make no difference to us what day of the week it was you would flee. But you see, if you were a Jew, you would want to keep the Sabbath day. And so therefore they've got to keep the Sabbath day, and they're praying. And they're praying. And so they're preparing in connection with the season and with the day. They don't want it to be in the winter. and they don't want it to be in the Sabbath day. They could only go a certain distance. Now, why are they to flee? Because he tells them, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." So that is the introduction of the great tribulation. In our next study, we will say something about the features of that tribulation and how it will end.